Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio, broadcasting live from Digital Ignition. I'm Mike Salmon alongside John Ray. Hello, John.
Hello, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And what's the buzzword for the show today?
The key word is chicken.
Chicken. When we say the word chicken, there will be bells and whistles and Groucho Marx will come out of it and, you know, we all win prizes.
If we had people calling in, we would say call in with the key word chicken.
Right. If people could have heard the conversation before the show, hopefully the conversation during the show will be better than the conversation before the show. But
if they heard the conversation before the show, they wouldn't be listening right now.
Yes. We're going to ask every guest here a question that involves the word chicken. Now, how we get it in, I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Our guest today for the show, Bill Bland with Choke Construction, Chris Lamb with Align Consulting, and Casey Robinson with Envision Office Solutions. And our first guest, Bill Bland, is the Senior VP of Business Development for Choke Construction. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Well, Choke Construction, I think everybody that's listening probably has heard the name of your construction company because you guys are building, especially all over Atlanta. But give us a brief overview of your company and what you guys do.
Well, we're a general contractor, regional general contractor. We did $1.3 billion last year in business. We have offices in Charlotte, Raleigh, Charleston, Savannah, and here in Atlanta. And, we build senior living facilities. We build, by the way, chicken processing facilities.
There's chicken.
We got the chicken in.
Yep.
And then also we do all of Chick-fil-A's corporate headquarters work. So that's two chickens, right? And then also we do boutique hotels, we do senior living, student housing, and manufacturing facilities. And we've been in business for 27 years, and we recently became a ESOC company. So I'm glad to be here and to discuss our company with you. Thank you.
Absolutely, because it helps you out.
ESOC company. I hope so.
How'd you get in the business?
You know, I was trained to be an architect originally and worked with an architect, and he told me that I probably should go back and get an MBA and go to work for a contractor or a developer. And I took that sage advice 25 years ago. So I've been with Choke for 25 years. I was a project manager with the firm and gravitated into sales and was asked to get into sales. And I said, sell what? I hated salespeople. I didn't want to be around salespeople, but that's been a long time ago and how ignorant I was. So I head up our sales here in the Atlanta market, and we each one of our offices has a salesperson, if you will, that heads up their sales. But that's how I got in the business.
Bill, talk about the mission of the organization, because I don't know, for me, I find when an organization like Choate is 100% employee owned, wins the awards that you do, there's something underneath that, a philosophy that drives that.
Well, you know, I really think that the mission really started with our founder, Millard Choate. As I met him as a young man, I was drawn to the guy because he was very much a driven person, and he enthused. He gave us a sense of leadership, and at that time, the company was hiring ambitious people, because of his legacy, and he's still with the company. He's our CEO. It was all about relationships. So, really, our mission is to forge lasting relationships by creating, you know, really construction solutions provide exceptional outcomes. So really it starts with people. Our company is about, our mission is really people and those relationships. And then from that, we're allowed the opportunity to do work. So
So core values, talk about some of your core values that you see as important.
Well, you know, the first core value for us is safety, because we're around a lot of moving parts. We have a lot of complex projects that we build. So we have an idea that's called One Life. It's a mission for us. It's your life. Protect it. Protect the, you know, your life is tied into so many other people. And so, first of all, it starts with safety. So we're very safety driven. Secondly, you know, it's about relationships. I said that before. 85% of all our business is done on as repeat business. We think that says a lot about how we forge relationships. And it's integrity. We have a very strict cost accounting, project management system. Basically, we're managing other people's money. We're building projects for them. So we're completely honest and transparent. Most of the work we do is done on a negotiated type basis. So that implies we have to be honest and integrity, because we're involved early in the process and we produce a budget, and that budget is protected as the design progresses. So we have to do that. And then, you know, operationally, we want to be excellent. So, you know, I could go on and on about the accolades that we get each year for the projects that we build and the engineering news record type projects that we've got numerous awards, but we couldn't do that without being operationally excellent. And we're, you know, we give back. In fact, we have what we call Cars for Q coming up this Saturday at our office, and we'll raise way over $350,000. Our company is tied into philanthropically to cystic fibrosis, a lot of many other charities, but that's our charity of choice. We do a lot of work with Shepherd Spinal, their foundation, a lot of work here in the North Fulton Charities. So we do understand that, you know, God has blessed us and given us the ability to produce revenue, produce capital, and supply for families. We want to give back. And then we want to be innovative. We have we have a virtual construction group, and we were sort of forefront of that many years ago. So the projects that we build virtually. We have a staff of architects. We're not practicing architecture, but we build our projects virtually in the three dimensions before we build it. And we think that speaks to our innovation as well. So those are basically our core values.
Wow. That's impressive. This is the part, Bill, where you just take the mic and just drop the mic and walk away. That was nice.
Okay, I'm gone. See you. But I do like chicken, by the way.
There you go. Third time.
He did it again. Yeah. He's trying to get the prize.
He is. Bill Bland is our guest. He's with Choke Construction, one of the largest general contractors in the Southeast. And I said at the top of the interview, I see your signs all over the Metro Atlanta area. You guys are building all over the place. Talk about some of the major projects you guys are working on in the Atlanta area.
Be glad to do that. We do a tremendous amount of work for a company called Aspire. Aspire is a leading developer of senior living facilities. So we've got two projects we're building for them in town. We do a lot of work for Solomon Holdings, Al Holbrook, a native here of Alpharetta. We're building three facilities for him right now. So a lot of senior living type work. We've built 450 car dealerships, and I know that's, you think I'm kidding. That's serious. That's God's honest truth. 450 car dealerships. We also are building Jackson Healthcare. So right down the road from here, we're building Jackson Healthcare's new corporate headquarters facility. They're a private company growing by leaps and bounds, and we're doing that project. And then also we're building, just finished Barnsley Gardens. It's a boutique hotel and conference center in Adairsville. And we just finished Comcast corporate headquarters, regional corporate headquarters building at the Battery in Atlanta, where the Braves Stadium is.
Would it have been easier to just ask you, what are you guys not building these days?
That's the idea.
Okay.
Yeah. And plus, you do see the signs everywhere. Thank you.
Yeah. And you're listed as Senior VP Business Development, so you're the guy that brings the business in. How do you find the new projects to work on?
Well, I'd like to say, I I'm responsible. My main goal in life is to protect our reputation, and that also entails that I do have to create opportunity. But I'm more of a team player in that process, because most of our guys and gals that work for us, because they forge those relationships, we're able to do a lot of repeat business. But, you know, it's a number of ways. I chase the money. I try to find out where the capital sources are. And if I can find out where the capital sources are, a lot of times that leads me to opportunities to meet with owner occupiers ahead of the process, if you will. So that's utopia when I find that, but also got lots of friends in the architectural world and the civil engineering world and the geotechnical world, that we work together and help each other find business. So a lot of it's purely networking and actually I try to spend 40% of my time creating business for other people as well. So.
Now, Bill, big picture question for you. So
yes, sir.
We're right here in North Fulton, but
yep.
We've got listeners all over the Atlanta area. I'm curious what you see big picture wise in terms of major areas of development in Atlanta, in and around the Atlanta metro area.
Absolutely.
Going forward.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've thought a lot about it, and we sort of try to look ahead as we chase business and look for new opportunities. But I think there's really two things, dynamics that are occurring. One is the, what I like to call the urban infill brown field mixed use, taking a building that may have been used at another type of occupancy several years ago, maybe a warehouse or an old factory. And we're seeing more and more people looking at those to refurbish those to create creative office, retail and hotel type work around that. So it's a densification, urban infill inside the perimeter. We just finished New Realms Brewery on the Beltline. And that sort of, to me, encompasses a lot of what's going to happen in the future. So I see a tremendous amount of that. Senior living's not going to go away. Every minute, 65,000 people are retiring in the United States. So I think that market's going to continue. Also, I see what I like to call these suburbia mixed use, quasi wannabe urban infill, but it's in suburbia. Contrary to popular belief, I am seeing a lot of millennial types that want to move out to suburbia and not stay inside because now they got to go to school and they want to have a place that their children can be educated. And by the way, they actually like grass. They discovered they want to garden or actually cut grass and can't do that inside the perimeter too much. So seeing a lot of that, but that's going to create these cool, you know, like what's happening in Alpharetta, the Alpharetta City Center. I mean, we built the City Hall there many years ago. And, I'll give a hand to David Belisle for doing that, having a vision for that. But the cluster that you're seeing being built around Alpharetta City Center is only going to be built in other city centers all across Metro Atlanta. And, you know, Navarre is doing some work in Lawrenceville, you know, same sort of thing as Alpharetta City Center. So that's it's kind of an urban infill and suburbia mixed use clusters.
You know, Bill, you really need to get some more enthusiasm for what you do.
Yeah, I'm a little slow this morning.
You know,
forgive me.
No, because that really leads into my next question. And I think I may know the answer to it, but what's the favorite part of what you do?
Favorite part
of your job?
Well, my favorite part is people. I love to meet people. And it's a people business for us. Love relationships. Love helping solve problems for people as they're trying to create a structure of some type. And I like to see them being happy. So, you know, I know that if I keep clients happy and architects happy, we're gonna have more business. So it's the people part. I love our people and love the people that I meet.
All right, Bill, great stuff with Choke Construction. For those that would like to find out more about your company, where can they find that information?
Well, you know, they could call me at 404-483-7799. I'd love to talk to people. That's the best way to get me is my cell number. But you can always go online at choateco.com, and you could go to our website and see what we got going on there as well.
Great. Bill, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Bill Bland with Choate Construction here on North Fulton Business Radio. And a reminder that we're broadcasting from Digital Ignition. This is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. We are nestled within a 45,000 square foot building with an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desks, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, and a great break room with all the coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working, as well as space which impresses your investors, customers, and future employees, go to digitalignition.com.
They even have chicken dinners every once in a while.
Winner, winner.
Chicken dinner.
Our next guest, boy, we're good.
We're good.
Chris Lennon with A-Line Consulting. No, Chris Lamp. See? Without glasses, it looks like Lennon, like John Lennon. I put the glasses on and it's L-A-M-M, Lamb. Oh, my goodness. Chris, sorry about that. Chris Lamb, Align Consulting. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell us all about your company. What do you guys do?
Well, we are a 150-strong consulting firm headquartered in Tampa, Florida. And we focus on servicing our clients' information security and compliance needs, and digital security. We provide SOC attestation, PCI compliance, HIPAA, high trust. It's a mouthful, I know. ISO certification, FISMA certification, FedRAMP authorization, NIST 800-171 assessments, GDPR assessments, EU-US Privacy Shield, business continuity, disaster recovery, penetration testing services, and social engineering. Indeed, that is a mouthful, but I can only speak personally on the PCI side of things. I am a QSA with the card brands, with the PCI Security Standards Council. And in that role, I'm the guy that goes to companies and helps them become compliant to fix the security issues that are there. And to my role is twofold, to help them get there and to certify that they've actually achieved compliance.
So what's the kind of company that would need PCI compliance?
Well, anybody who stores, processes, or transmits cardholder data or could affect the security thereof. So it's most everybody. It's a lot of different, anywhere you can imagine where you use a credit card, that company is subject to PCI compliance.
Okay, so it's companies that take a credit card. So I have to be PCI compliant in order to take credit cards?
Well,
what is PCI compliance?
PCI compliance.
What does that mean?
PCI compliance is, well, let's run back a little bit. Back at when the internet first, became a thing, 26 years ago, and everyone connected everyone's computers. Well, the credit card industry was already there and it existed. So each card brand came out with their own data security standard, and that effort, it could be a little messy in places where the standard overlapped, or one card brand wanted a different requirement. And about 12 years ago, I believe it was 12 years ago, the PCI Data Security Standards Council was formed, which is the council that is comprised of Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover, and JCB. It sets the rules for processing, storing, transmitting credit cards. And so that is the authority which mandates the controls. And then I and my company are certified to go to entities and validate that those controls are in place, that the credit card data is being stored appropriately encrypted, the access is limited, and that is being done in a cogent and forthright way.
So if you accept Visa, MasterCard, any of these cards, part of the requirement for that from Visa, MasterCard is that you be PCI compliant and you show that. Do I have that right?
PCI applies to everyone who stores, processes, and transmits credit card. Now, the level of compliance is determined by your acquirer, which brings us to the next question: is how do you know if it applies? And I would say to anyone listening, reach out to your acquirer, the bank with whom you process credit cards. Reach out to them and ask them. They're ultimately responsible for your compliance as a merchant. To go and ask them, say, hey, I haven't heard about PCI. Where do I go to find out? And they're going to tell you. They're going to know. They're going to let you know what their process is, what their merchant compliance program is, and they will fill you into that.
What do you say, Chris, to that business owner that says, well, I can handle this by myself, or no one's going to be trying to breach my information and try to get my stuff from me. I'm not worried about it. What do you tell that person that's maybe on the fence and thinks they can handle it themselves?
Oh, boy. That's a good one.
How much time do we have?
Right? Yeah, no doubt. Well, I get to the heart of the matter. I think for every business owner that's ever said that to me, I would have them repeat that after they've seen their penetration test. And a penetration test is where a white hat hacker actually tries to break into your environment, to where they actually use the vulnerabilities that are there to gain access to sensitive systems and to data that they shouldn't have access. And there are many times where I've had entities, clients that thought that they were going to be compliant or that, hey, everything's okay. But a live penetration test with a white hat hacker shows very much otherwise. So
is that something you do as a matter of course before you go visit a client? Is that a white hat hacking?
PCI requires, it's actually PCI requirement 11.3 to be exact. PCI requires that to be compliant, that you perform an annual penetration test. So it must be done every year. Now, mind you, there are smaller entities that, say, if you're processing credit card data over a terminal at a gas station, you may not necessarily need to have a full penetration test. But if your company stores the credit card numbers for several hundred thousand people, yeah, I think it would be a good idea to undergo that penetration test. So it depends on what level. And again, I would refer you back to your acquirer bank to determine what level you need to be assessed against.
Short of getting with Align and obviously hiring out your information, what are some other things that business owners can do to protect credit card numbers, from being hacked, protect their reputation?
Sure. If I could say anything to all the business owners that are listening today, the very first thing, if you can't answer this question, then this is where you need to start. If you can't, in your mind right now, know where your sensitive data is and how it's protected, then that's where you need to start. If you can't say, yes, my credit card numbers are in this SQL database hosted at this data center and it's protected X, Y, and Z, and I have a team for that, or some sort of data inventory. If you don't know where your data is, and it doesn't have to be credit card numbers, it could be customer records, it could be healthcare data, which falls under HIPAA, it could be, there's a fine example of something that sounds rather germane, but there's been information security here in Atlanta for 122 years now? The recipe for Coca-Cola. There's only a handful of people that know that. And that's a recipe, but for God's sakes, but it's still sensitive data, right? They're not going to post that on a billboard out on Georgia 400, correct? So the first and foremost thing is know where your data is. You have to know that. Without that, you don't know where to go. You don't know where to start.
So you have these companies, they have the credit card information, and you talked about how they can protect themselves. What about the consumer? They have my credit card information. Is there anything that I can do as the consumer to protect my information?
Well, sure. First and foremost is make sure you don't transmit more than you should, right? Don't put information out online. Don't post it where, not specifically credit card information, but general information security. Don't transmit data you don't need to. I'm definitely an anti-social media guy, just because I don't like to post my personal information out for the world to see. Same goes with the other information. Make sure you don't put it in a format that it can be read, where it can be just good data security and hygiene. Make sure you're not transmitting. Make sure you don't shred papers. Simple things at home. Shred papers. Make sure you have backups. Encrypt those backups if you can. A lot of data storage now has encryption options where you can protect that data. So if someone walks out your house with your hard drive, they don't get all your data.
But part of the problem, is it not, is that a lot of business owners really don't know what's happening with some of their data unless someone like you comes in and tells them, right? I mean, they really don't know these vulnerabilities. So that's kind of part of the point.
Wait, it right? is. And that's yeah. that's why firms like mine, and by the way, we're 150 really great people. I'm honored to work with the good folks at Align.
All of them are great?
Yes, actually. Every last
I'll
one.
Take, okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Indeed, we a lot of business may not have the resources to bring someone with our skills in-house. So that's why we exist, is to be to come in with the specialized knowledge. Like, for instance, I'm specialized in PCI. I'm not good at much else. You get me swinging a hammer, someone's going to get hurt, and it's probably going to be me. So you bring us in to talk about these issues and to focus on those items and to help it. For instance, if I were to go in, that's one of the very first things I would do, is help you find, where is your card data? Where are your applications? For instance, I'll give you an example of a client I had that they received fax orders, standard fax machine, copper pair, comes in the wall, comes out of the wall, someone dials up, faxes them an order. And the fax machine, spits out the piece of paper and it's got the name, what they want to order, the credit card number. This in this instance, it even had the CVV number, which is that little number on the back of the card or the front if it's Amex. And it had all that information. And I asked, which that in and of itself isn't a bad deal, but you've got to process the order. But the moment that the order is processed and that authorization is received, they're not allowed to store that information unless there's a good business reason, and never the CVV value. That can never be stored. So I asked the lady at this entity, I said, or this business, I said, so what do you do with these when we're done? She said, well, I put them in a box over here. I go, oh, okay. So I walk over there and look at the box, and there's a couple of hundred orders in there, all of them with card data sitting beside her desk. And I was like, well, this is not good. And then I asked her, I said, well, what do you do when you're done with this box? When this box is full, what do you do? I said, and I'm expecting that. She says, well, we should, shred this and get rid of it. She says, and the answer was, well, no, we put them over here in the storage room. So we went to the storage room, and sure enough, it was a false ceiling in a standard office where you could climb over. I'm thinking like a bad guy. Well, they had boxes on boxes of all these orders from all the previous years where the card number was there, the CVV number, you know, a good majority of these credit card numbers would still be very valid. And it's all still card data. And I asked him, I said, do you ever go in here and use this information? And she looked at me and said, you know, I don't think we ever have. So this is an instance where a client was storing massive amounts of card data on paper, no less, which made it, you know, you actually have to carry the boxes out of the building. You can't download a piece of paper. But nevertheless, the card data was still stored there. And after asking them, and is this part of your business practice? The answer was no. And it was shredded immediately. That's
wow. Is all I can say to that. But so in that instance or others, is there a financial penalty? I mean, obviously, if you have a breach, there's a big reputational problem that you have with the marketplace. But with the regulators, those that are looking at PCI compliance, if you are compliant, are there penalties if you come in and find that kind of problem?
Well, I can't speak to fine penalties on an individual basis, but that is, again, it goes back to your acquirer and to your bank that's processing. They're the ones that will, if they ask you in 2015, you need to be compliant and you don't show that you're compliant in 16 and 17 and 18, they might come along and find you after the fact. And, or, you know, you as an entity haven't put forth the effort to become compliant or to secure your data and become compliant. I should say pose. They're not necessarily the same thing. Mm-hmm.
As we wrap things up, Chris, I want to ask you about you, because you said before the show, you worked in TV down in Macon, Georgia, years ago. So how did you end up from going from there to where you are today with Align Consulting?
Wow, that's, that was a million years ago. That was a job in college. I worked for WGXA in Macon, the Fox affiliate, and I did the graphics on the news back then. Let me see, I think I was making $6.50 an hour. It was, the college days back in the day when you get by on that kind of cash.
Yep.
But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And the question is, how do I get into that? Well, I've always been a nerd. Back in the day when computers, you know, I'm going to get my age here, but in the middle 80s when I was using, color computers and all the old school computers weren't fun and you had to store programs on analog tapes and so on.
Floppy disks and things like that. Yeah.
Well, I remember buying my first floppy disk drive. I was so excited not to have to use an analog tape to store my data. That was, Lord, 1988. So I've been doing that a while. I've always been a nerd. And one thing led to another after college. I got started in dial-up support and then worked for an internet service provider, then an insurance company. Then I was operational security at NetBank, which was headquartered here in Alpharetta. And then I moved into consulting after that. And I've been a QSA for the card brands for the last 10 years.
All right, Chris, last question before we let you go. For those that would like to find out more about your services and maybe look into hiring you out for your consulting services, where can they get more information?
Well, you can go to a-line.com is our webpage where you can find links to our services and to our salespeople.
And A-Line will make sure people understand A-Line is L-I-G-N.
That's right.
Like a line.
A-L-I-G-N.com. Yes, sir.
There you go. All right, well, Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
No mention of chicken at all in the interview, though.
It's hard to get chicken related.
Yeah,
to
maybe
data.
You had some chicken companies clients.
I've worked with fast food retailers that sold chicken sandwiches. Does that count?
That works.
There you go.
Got it in?
We got it. We got it.
All right. Congratulations.
So don't be a chicken. If you're tired and frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business, Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. They handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. They don't just process payrolls, they build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031.
All right, John, our next guest is Casey Robinson with Envision Office Solutions. They're a small commercial office furniture business. Do you want to get the chicken reference out of the way early? Is there a way we can somehow incorporate chicken?
I have two chicken clients, Tip Top Poultry and Bojangles.
We did it. There you go. The pressure is now off, Casey. Tell us more about your company and what you do.
Well, thanks, Mike and John, for having me, first of all. Envision Office Solutions is a small commercial office interiors dealer. It is just me. I have some select installers that I use around town. But my main focus is getting into meeting owners of businesses that are looking to expand, revamp their current office or stuff in that category when it comes to picking out maybe not the top of the line office furniture lines that you're familiar with, Steelcase and Herman Miller and stuff in that category, but a little bit more middle grade lines that are going to be a little more affordable to the people that are growing their businesses. So.
Mike, I love the way he says he's a small commercial office operation, but he's dealing with Bojangles and Tip Top Poultry and some of these big companies. I love
it's not too shabby.
Yeah, I know. That's
I got honey baked ham too.
There you go.
Nice. Now you're just getting me hungry, by the way.
A lot of food, a little food service in the furniture industry, apparently.
No kidding. So let's talk about workspaces because they're changing. They've changed over time. So talk about your thoughts on the workspace environment, offices, and where all that's going.
Well, as in the building here, you have a co-working space already. So it's the co-working mantra, I guess, that you see is you got your big wigs around, you got your WeWork and your Rome, Meet at Rome, and now there's Thrive and Alpharetta, which is expanded into Crab Apple and then now in Canton and going into other places. They're catering towards the younger workforce, the more entrepreneurial focused concepts. Me being 36, I would love that kind of atmosphere. It's welcome. It's friendly. It's not your stuffy cubicle office, which is traditionally known of your commercial office interior. So it's a good change. And it's with the younger workforce that is coming and the talent that they're bringing to the industry when it comes to employees for, you know, big, big companies like Choate and something in that category, they need to cater towards those younger employees. And that's what they want. They want the casual environment. They want to have breakout spaces to where they can have a conversation over some coffee or something in the category. They can do a big collaborative meeting in a meeting space. And then you have your traditional private offices, you know, that you have within those co-working spaces to that need that has that wants that private office, that privacy versus the overall feel of the co-working community that is really essentially become a community in Atlanta very well. So I mean, you got your Atlanta Tech Village, your WeWorks, your Rome, all those around town, Squared Space and stuff like that. So
a few weeks ago, John, I got to go visit the Business Radio X studio in Sandy Springs, and that building has become more of the new wave in co-working. Their studio is basically a glass cube. I mean, you can see in from every side.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat. Cool. Although I like a little privacy once in a while. I don't mind a wall that nobody can see through.
Oh, you're a chicken, huh?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sorry.
But the funny thing is they said since they went to the glass walls and much more open, they have met more of their neighbors and have made more relationships with people that worked in the building than they had beforehand. But as we see trends going that way, we've also seen the thing where more and more people are standing rather than sitting. They have the standing desks. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the slogan out there now is sitting is the new smoking. So people are from a business health, you know, employee well-being and stuff in that category. A lot of businesses are having consultants come in and evaluate how their employees' health is as a whole, as a company. I did an insurance company of mine that had an insurance compliance company come in and say, hey, this is an unhealthy office. They suggested doing stand-up desks for all of their employees who are sitting in cubicles. So what I did, I do sell the sit-on-top adjustable height desk, but I try to specialize in the ones that go under your work surface so you don't have this big clunky black thing that you got to raise your monitor up by hand. I'd rather just sell you push a button and it's electric, goes up and down. That's something that you don't, you know, may be a little bit lazy. I call it smart. So it just depends on the demographic that you're going for in that category.
I like the way he thinks, Mike. Yeah. it's not lazy, it's smart. So are you saying though that we're going to get to a point where companies are their health insurance premiums may that they're paying for employees and the employees are paying part of as well, maybe are going to be dependent on what their office configuration might be? I mean, that sounds like the implication of what you're saying.
Maybe not dependent on something in that category, but it is as a benefit to the employee and the owner of the company as a whole. Because I believe there are companies, for instance, this insurance company that I just did, I believe they got a discounted rate due to putting stand-up desks in their office.
Cool. So you talked about some bigger companies that you deal with, but talk in general about the kinds of clients that are good clients for you.
Small to medium-sized businesses. My largest client is over 200 employees. They just did a 26,000 square foot building here in Alpharetta off of Shiloh Road. Been with them since they started the company back in 2008. Big, big client, one of my largest that I have. I also deal with a bunch of smaller clients as well. When it comes to stuff, you know, North Appliance, North Fulton Appliance is off McFarland as well. He's a friend of mine that I met in the Alpharetta Chamber, little plug. But, you know, he ordered two desks and something like that is suitable for me as well. My niche is, if if you call my company or myself, because it is just me, you get me. You don't get somebody else. You don't get another salesperson coming to your door. You get me within that day or the next day to come say, hey, let me measure your space. What do you need to do? How can we help envision your space?
I was going to ask you this question, but I think you've kind of answered it throughout the entire interview. And that is, there's a lot of competition out there for what you do.
Absolutely.
What makes you different? And it seems like you've been kind of touching upon it this entire interview.
Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, there's some of the larger companies out there, like your CWCs and your DeKalb office. There's no knocking and either one of those guys. I respect both of those companies very well, and they've done their due since they've been in this industry. But, you know, I think it's harder for companies that size and that scale to get more on that personal level and build that relationship quicker and more neat than some potentially somebody at those larger companies can handle with. Bill touched on it earlier. He does a lot of his relationship building by himself. And that's kind of what I do. I bring myself, my life into their lives and hope to integrate a nice business, healthy relationship going forward.
And the name of the company, Envision Office Solutions. So if the client can envision it, you can help them from step one all the way to creating it.
Correct. And I like that you just said that, Mike. I love going to clients' offices when we're looking at a space plan or something in that category. And instead of, you know, typical Bill would know, typically they say design an office. You know, a lot of my clients, when they say, this is what we envision, that puts a smile on my face and that makes me think, oh, I might have this one on the hook. So
that's my company.
I like that.
All right. Well, Casey, for those that would like to find out more about Envision Office Solutions and maybe look into, buying from you, using your services, where can they get more information?
You can give me a call as well. 770-853-3908 is my cell phone. My website is envisionos.com, which is envisionos.com.
And before I let you go, I want to ask you one last question. Sure. You've been doing this for now for how long?
My dad started this company back in 88. So okay. This is a 30th year business.
Did you ever see yourself doing anything else? Or is this something that you were just kind of, I'm born and this is where I'm going. And
I'm
either
going
to go with it happily or I'm going to go kicking and screaming.
Kind of bounced around. I went after high school. I graduated. I'm from Alfred. I grew up here. I went to the Milton High School that they just tore down.
All right.
And
go Eagles. Alfred.
That's right. So, but I grew up here.
I mean, this is something that you, your whole life, it's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be in the office furniture business.
Yeah, my dad started when I was 7. So I've been in it since I was 7, kind of bounced around, moved to Colorado for a little brief period of time, moved back here and decided I want to take over the business because it gives me the freedom working for myself, which is nice.
Absolutely. Well, continued success and thanks for sharing your story.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
Casey Robinson with Envision Office Solutions joining us here on the program. Also a big thanks to Chris Lamb with Align Consulting and Bill Bland with Choke Construction for joining us on the program. We want to remind all our listeners that you can listen to this show over and over again as many times as you want and hear all the chicken references by going to businessradiox.com, select the North Fulton Studio, and then, of course, select the North Fulton Business Radio and all of our shows. And we've been doing this for about 2 years now.
2 years. We're coming up on show number 100 soon.
Oh, we're going to have a big celebration.
We'll have to have something.
Yes.
Maybe we'll have chicken dinner.
Chicken lunch, chicken dinner.
Something like that.
There you go. And all the shows aren't as corny as this one. I can promise you that.
Yeah, fortunately, or we wouldn't have as many listeners as we've got.
Yeah, not the
right?
guests, yeah. but the host.
That's right. Yes.
But also follow us. We're all over social media on Twitter. It's North Fulton BRX. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, all those places as well. I'll see you next time.
Looking forward to it.
For John Ray and our producer, Trey, I'm Mike, and we'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio. We'll